Welcome to COC. You guys doing all right today? Man, I unrolled my pants. I can't bend over, so unroll them. Hey, you're going to roll them too? That's okay.
Leave room for the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
That's not bad.
Coming from the fashionista himself, Claire Barrett. COC, how are you today? You doing good? Awesome. Thank you for choosing to worship with us today. We are heading into the last week of a series that we've called here, God Never Said That. Now, if you haven't been with us, here's basically what we've been doing. The last few weeks, we've been taking a look at four cultural beliefs about God that God actually never said. All right, so the first week, Matt kicked us off in the series and did an absolute tremendous job, and he talked to us, and he said the first cultural misbelief or myth that's out there that God actually never said was this: God wants you happy. So we're going to get a little group participation here. I'm going to say that out loud, and then you're going to say, uh-uh, God never said that. Ready? God wants you happy. Are you confused? Did you think I was saying... Did y'all say actually God never said that, or did you say God wants you happy? God wants you happy. Very good, very good. Then the second week, we talked to you a little bit about how God won't give you more than you can handle, which again, God never said that. So I'm going to try that again. God won't give you more than you can handle. Awesome. And then last week, we looked at the third cultural belief that is out there, and it goes like this: it doesn't matter what you do.
God never said that.
Come on, get into it. It doesn't matter what you do.
God never said that.
Fantastic. And if you'd like to catch that, the entirety of this series, you can go to the website, you can look at the video cast, the podcast, whatever you want. But I'd encourage you to go check it out because it's been a really fun series, and we've been taking a look at these things. So today, to wrap up our series, we're going to look lastly at what I believe is probably the most relevant and culturally believed lies that is out there. And it sounds something like this: it doesn't matter what you believe, which again, God actually never said. Now, this is a big, big deal because we're talking about relationship with a God and ultimately eternal life. And people are banking eternal life on this kind of an idea. So many people today that we come into counter, especially the younger generation that is here today, your generation, millennial generation, is taking a look at this whole idea and they're kind of softening what is important and what do I actually believe, and boiling it down and saying this, which it's extremely, extremely scary and extremely dangerous when you say it doesn't matter what you believe. And you probably maybe heard this yourself before, maybe somewhere in your spiritual journey, you've even said it yourself today. But this is a very, very big deal. Now, you probably heard it this way: it doesn't matter what you believe. And then they'll tag on this idea, which kind of softens the blow: as long as you're sincere in your pursuit for God, it doesn't matter what you believe. Now, I call that type of thinking, very simply put, this: feel good theology. Feel good theology. Do, live, breathe, study, whatever you want, what feels good to you. And we see this all the time, don't we? Right? You can go to somebody who passes away to a funeral, and you'll hear this a lot: well, you know, he or she wasn't much of a religious person, but they're in a better place now. Right? They're in a better place now, and they're looking down on us. Right? You're talking to a friend, and something goes like this because religion or God conversation, spirituality conversation comes up, and you'll hear this. Maybe you've even said this before: it really doesn't matter what you believe religiously because all roads lead to God anyways. They're basically the same. And then this is the sad part. They'll start saying things like this: what you really need to do with this whole religion and spiritual conversation is this: you just need to try really, really hard. to be a good person, and to be sincere in your efforts. And here's what's so incredibly interesting to me about this type of thinking. We're basically saying this, in essence. Spirituality isn't controversial. It's not controversial. And we see this type of thinking all the time. I mean, if you were to go watch any major sporting event that has like a significant major event to close out the season, Super Bowl, playoffs, you know, baseball, World Series, NBA play, wherever it is, whatever the arena is, you'll always hear this from somebody, you know, tell us about the game. Well, first of all, I just want to thank God. Or in short, they're like, I want to thank the man upstairs because without him, none of this would be possible. Pop culture is huge today. You look at the Grammys or the Emmys or the Oscars, and everybody almost starts. It's just so, it's almost cliche. I just want to thank God. And so many times it's so funny because people will have the conversation and say, did you know so-and-so is a Christian? Did you know so-and-so? And I'm like, how do you know that? Did you read something? No, they thanked God last night before their speech. It's crazy at what's out there, and we see it manifest itself that way. And nobody has really an issue with God or a higher being when we're generally talking about spirituality. Because when we say it like that and we hear it like that, spirituality isn't controversial. But here's what's most interesting to me. Here is when things actually begin to change. When we hear a certain name, and that name is Jesus, that's when things change. You want to know if somebody knows Jesus? And I can't guarantee it, but when somebody at the end of a game says, I want to thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it's a pretty good chance they know what they're talking about. And that's what I'm looking for in that kind of a situation. But we can all talk about God and there's no controversy. But the minute we mention Jesus, things start to get a little hairy. They start to get a little controversial the moment that somebody brings up the name of Jesus. Now, here's what's fascinating about that, right? Because I've had so many conversations about Jesus being a ministry. Almost nobody really debates the existence of Jesus. Matter of fact, even his greatest detractors aren't going to say or even come to the point of saying he didn't live. They'll actually acknowledge all day long that Jesus was really a real person. Even that he was a great teacher. I mean, how can you, seriously, when you really think about Jesus, how can you, regardless of what you believe about, you know, heaven, hell, all that stuff, wherever you're at today, how can you argue about a man who lived and taught things like this? Help the poor, right? Love everybody. Be generous. Forgive those who mistreat you. How can you hate? Who does that? That's great stuff, man. I'd like to meet that person. Even if you hate Christianity, it's almost impossible to hate the teachings of Jesus. So why is it? Why is it that everybody is up in arms and they get so upset, they get so bothered when someone mentions his name? I think I have the idea and I think I have the answer. I think it's this. I don't think the answer is necessarily the name of Jesus. I think it's this. I think it's the claim of Jesus. I think it's the claim of who Jesus said he was that bothers people so much. And you might be wondering, well, what is that? Well, there's really no better verse in the entire Bible that encapsulates it, who Jesus claimed to be. When he said it himself in John chapter 14, 6, you probably know the verse. He said, I am the way and the truth and the life. And nobody comes to the Father except through who? Me. Do you hear it? It's right there. Right there is where Jesus kind of just separates himself from all of the other religions in the world. And that claim right there clearly signifies that there is a massive cultural belief out there, a lie that way too many people are believing. And that being, it doesn't matter what you believe. Because I would argue and say, well, according to Jesus, it kind of does matter. Especially with who he claims he was. It kind of does matter. So here's kind of what I want to do today. I want to start by looking at this truth that Jesus claimed to be who he said he was. And I kind of want to compare him to some of the major world religions that we have today. And you've heard some of this stuff before if you've been at COC at any amount of time. And I'm going to do my best because there's like four of them. And I'm going to just give you a synopsis, just a brief sprinkling about what the major world religions teach so you understand some of the differences. And sure, there can be some truth and there can be some beauty in all of them, but I think you'll understand and all agree today, they're not the same. They're not the same as what I'm going to be teaching today, what the Bible says they are. And if you were to actually dive a little bit deeper into the truth of Christianity, I promise you, you simply would not be able to argue the differences. They're so vast. So let me give you a brief overview. If you're a note taker, here they are, the popular world religions today. Here's the first one, Buddhism. Anybody here ever heard of Buddhism? Yeah, some of you haven't. And I wonder if you have lived on earth very long, okay? Did you know that Buddhism actually has no God? So basically, Buddhism has no final type of existence. Now you're wondering, what's the purpose in it, right? But there are so many Buddhists in this world. What a Buddhist actually believes is this, is they believe in countless rebirths of themselves. So basically meaning this, you are born, and then you will die, and then you are reborn, and then you are die, and then you are reborn, then you are die, and then you are reborn, and so on, to eventually, hopefully, end the cycle of rebirth somewhere and someday, and like, finally, I got it. You know what I'm saying? So your life would, I think my life as a Buddhist would be wasted if I died as a human being, and I came back as like a frog. Like, this didn't work. I'd be trying to hop the road and get to the next one, right? And what's most interesting about this is trying to figure out how exactly to do that. It's very confusing. Here's another one, Hinduism. Anybody here ever heard of Hinduism? Okay. Hinduism has a very impersonal God, but you can't reach him personally. This is why he's impersonal. He is approached, or that being is approached through deities, through statues, or through idols. And here's an interesting connection between Buddhism and Hinduism. Neither Buddhism or Hinduism offer the forgiveness of sins, or do they offer any supernatural help or assistance of any kind on your spiritual journey. Good luck. Here's what they have in connection. It's actually called karma. Anybody here heard of karma? Karma is basically what you ultimately place your belief in. And if you understand anything about karma, it kind of goes like this. If I am good to somebody, then I might have good be given back to me. If I am bad to people, then I might have bad happen back to me. You're placing your faith, your belief in something so random and so chance and happen. It's so vague. It's unknown. And many of us would argue, I know this for a fact, many of us would argue that doing good or doing bad doesn't always guarantee that good or bad will happen in return for you. I have known a lot of incredible, well-being, good followers of Jesus, and I know that's another world religion, and we'll get there in a minute, but they have done some amazing and remarkable things, and they've died for their faith, so where's the karma in that? We all have way too many examples and illustrations. So there's two of them, right? And here's a third one. It's a pretty popular one today. It's Islam. Islam. Muslims worship a God who is called Allah, who apparently is a personal God. But this is interesting. He doesn't offer much help for you along your journey. It's kind of like you believe, here's what you need to do, good luck. There are no other secondary gods. There's also a total ban on idols, unlike the previous other two religions. But here's basically, in a nutshell, what Islam teaches, if you've ever kind of wondered. Here it is. If you're a Muslim, your standing with God or Allah totally depends on your religious devotion to Him and to Him alone. In short, your right standing with Allah has everything to do with your works. Your works. So good luck. How about this one? New Age. New Age is a very popular in lots of parts of the world, and New Age basically believes this. Again, there is no personal God either. This is kind of the one that's really out there to me more than anything else. This is hard to wrap my brain around. But New Age basically teaches this, that the belief is in a higher being consciousness. It basically means that you're on a journey of wanting. This would be great if I like had someone, ding, 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 you know, those little things back there. You're on a journey of wanting and of wanting what? To be one with the universe. Sorry. If you are New Age, forgive me now today. Listen, to be one with the cosmos. What is a journey of wanting? I mean, you know what I'm saying? I won't even say a fifth one, because the fifth one today is what I'm going to primarily talk about. But there is another world religion today that I probably would reach a lot of your ancestry today and your spiritual background if I talked about Catholicism. But Catholicism, if you want to know in short of what that is, there is a major vast difference in an understanding of what grace means. A vast difference of what grace means. What the New Testament teaches about grace and what is interpreted by the Catholic Church about grace. And in short, once again, I'll tell you this, it's all about you working hard for a right relationship with God. In short, that's what it is. So now that you understand a few of the vast different religions that are out there, let me share the one I'm talking about today, and that would be New Testament Christianity. Now, if you're new to church, this Bible thing is new to you, I'll explain to you what it is. Some of you have been here for a while, and you need a refresher, so I'll explain to you what it is as well. New Testament Christianity is rooted in a personal God, one personal God, who is fully exposed Himself to us in and through the work of His Son, Jesus Christ. And He offers you, each individual person, exclusively and inclusively, like you're unique to Him, it's personal. He offers you forgiveness of your sins apart from anything that you could ever do. So basically this means this, for you to reach your pinnacle of higher, eternity or eternal existence, which is what all of these religions are pushing you towards, eternal existence, life after death, this kind of stuff. According to New Testament Christianity, this is pretty powerful. Your salvation, your eternal existence is not based on anything that you could ever do to work your way to God. And here's why. Because God has already worked His way to you. Now, I get it, and I expected the Christians to clap. I really did. But I want to talk to those that are out here, and you're on a spiritual journey, and you're searching, and you've entertained, and you've even looked at some of these things. I get it. There is this want, almost, in you that you're searching for to try to find a peace inside of yourself and in your life. And when I say this kind of thing, I think you have to agree there is a vast difference between all of those major religions compared to what I just said by New Testament Christianity, which separates it from the other world religions. And I've said this before at COC, and this has kind of come to be our definition of what New Testament Christianity is, but if you want it in short, you want to know what we believe and why we believe it, it's simple. New Testament Christianity is simple. It's Jesus plus nothing. Jesus plus nothing. Nothing that you would ever have to do or could do or even think or dream about doing. It's Jesus plus nothing. And as I share with you, and we could even talk, you know, at another time and go even deeper in these, there are interesting, there are similarities with some of these other religions that are kind of similar with Christianity, but there is a big, big difference. There are interesting and appealing truths of each one, but I think we would agree as I list all of these other ones where it says this is what you have to do to be right with God, the list, and then I share New Testament Christianity. This is what's already been done for you to be right with God. You have to agree. There are some vast differences because New Testament Christianity is based and centers on what God has already done to work his way to you in and through the work of his son Jesus Christ on the cross. So here's why I share all of that before I really, you know, jump in. When somebody comes to you, and this is twofold, okay? If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you're a follower and you kind of want to know, how do I defend my faith and this kind of stuff? Here's what happens. And maybe you're on the other side, you're on a spiritual journey, you haven't placed a saving faith in Jesus Christ, right? It doesn't matter what you believe. If they come to you and say, it doesn't matter what you believe if you're sincere. Here's what I can deduce from just my simple knowledge that was shared today. An objective person, if you are objective in your thinking, if you are a reasoner, you human logic reason this out, an objective thinker would hear, it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. An objective thinker has to listen to that, and they have to look at that, and they have to say, well, actually, God never said that. And I don't think that is actually remotely accurate to what he did say. And I think everybody would agree with that simple truth. So here's who this message is for. If you are a believer in Jesus, awesome. If you've placed a saving faith in Jesus and you're a born-again believer, this is a refresher for you today. But here is my message today. My message on this particular week on God Never Said That is this. My message is for those of you that are sitting out there and you're still on a journey. You haven't figured this out. God seems a little foreign to you, but he's interesting to you. This Bible, you've heard verses and they're appealing, but you just don't know. And you still think that if you said yes, we're going to invite you to a back room that serves Kool-Aid. And you're just a little nervous about that. Right? If you're out there and you're thinking that, but you're searching, my message today is for you. I want you to think about this. I want you to think about this whole idea about eternity, about life after death. And I want you to think about it objectively. Be smart about this. Because after all, you're banking eternity on it. Be objective. That's all that I'm asking. I'll respect what you believe. I promise you I will. Just please respect what I believe. And would you at least objectively consider Jesus today? Would you? Now, please hear me. I'm not asking you today to consider Church of Celebration as your home church. That's not what I'm asking. I'm not asking you to consider, you know, basically even Christianity today. And you're like, well, wait a minute, Josh, you lost. No, I'm not. Because I would argue vehemently that Jesus didn't come to start a religion. I believe that Jesus actually came to reveal to us the love of God and our desperate need for a Savior. And I'm certainly, gosh, this is so true. I'm certainly not asking you to consider the behaviors of those that might call themselves Christians. Right? Because that will turn you off faster than anybody else. What I'm asking you today is this. If this is you and you're searching and you've been tempted to think and maybe even believe that lie, that cultural myth, that it doesn't matter what I believe, would you just give me like 15 minutes? And would you at least, just at least objectively consider Jesus today? Now here's what I'm going to do. I want to give you my best shot in like 15 minutes. I'm going to give you my best shot for you to objectively consider this. And if I were to have a one-on-one conversation with you and you were there and you were thinking this, and I would say, please consider Jesus, here are the three serious major points that I would give you. And there's a lot more, but I'd be like, if I could land on three things, these would be the three things. Here's the first one. Just think about it. Would you consider the ministry of Jesus? Now, let me explain what I mean by that. Mark basically summarizes, kind of in a nutshell, why Jesus came in his second chapter of his gospel. And he said this in Mark 2:16. I can't think of better words to describe why Jesus came. And Mark said this: when the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? On hearing this, Jesus said to them, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous. You know better. I've come to call sinners. Now, here's what's going on. Again, if you're new to the Bible, so I can pitch this first point right. The teachers of the law in that day and age were known as the Pharisees. They were the religious elite. They interpreted and gave the law. They said, this is how you're right with God. You live like us. And if God were here today and he were to speak, he'd speak to us on your behalf and we'd communicate what he said. That's who they are. Sounds like a lot of church people today, doesn't it? Right? And they saw Jesus eating with sinners and tax collectors. Don't mix any words there. Sinners and tax collectors. And here's what's crazy, because when I read the Bible, I'm sitting here, and this is just the way my brain works. I'm like, he's just eating with them, for Pete's sake. How many sinners and tax collectors do you eat with? Every single day. I eat with my family. They're sinners. And my son's a tax collector, takes all my money. Every day, I'm a sinner, right? He's just eating with them. So they ask his disciples, in essence, why is he eating with these people? Now, sinners, and that's a pretty explicit word, but tax collectors, they were like worse than sinners back in that day and age because they cheated everybody. And they were basically saying, doesn't everybody know this, that there's no real righteous person who would eat with these type of people? And because everybody knows those people are dirty, they're filthy, and they're sinners. And they are so beyond saving. Duh. So on hearing this, Jesus says, you guys are not getting this. How many times do I have to tell you this? Healthy people don't need my help. It's people who are sick that need my help. And oh, by the way, I'll say it again. Those are the people that I've come for. Basically meaning, if you break that down, and if you're an objective thinker, which I hope you are today, and you're searching and you're thinking, it might not matter what I believe. Think about this. Jesus came for people like you, for people like me, for those who were despised by others. He reached out and he loved them and he accepted them. Jesus came for those that religion rejected, and he loved and he reached out to them. He came for a woman who was caught in the very act of adultery, and the law supported that she be stoned. It actually supported that she die for her transgressions, for her sins. And Jesus, who he came for that person who was sick and broken and helpless, seems to be, by all apparent circumstances, not even paying attention to the conversation, just doodling on the ground. And they're there with a mob with stones, and they throw her at his feet. And he says, you're right. You're right. He acknowledges what she has done is sin. That's something we often overlook in the adulterous woman situation. And we throw a lot of grace on people. And we think, oh, yeah, no. He acknowledged what she had done was wrong. And you cannot be healed unless you acknowledge what you are doing is wrong. He says, she is wrong. You're right. And the law does say she should die. So I got an idea, guys. The person that's standing in this crowd that has no sin in their life, I'll tell you what, why don't you step up? Jesus probably even wrote on the ground. Here's your line. Step on up. You throw the first stone. Boy, doesn't that speak volumes for us today? Man, don't you just want to go home and delete your Facebook account now? A lot of stones being thrown on Facebook these days by Christians. They dissipate. Rocks drop. He grabs her by the hand, lifts up her face and says, guess what? I don't think there's anybody here that doesn't have sin in their life. Just like you. So I tell you what I'm going to do. You go. It's another powerful truth. He said, sin no more. Jesus told her to sin no more, not other Christians. Jesus told her to sin no more. And he said, you're forgiven. That is who Jesus came for. If you're an objective thinker and you are in desperate need of help and assistance because you're broken, that's who he came for. Buddha didn't come for you. Allah didn't come for you. The Roman Catholic Church didn't come for you. Jesus came for you. Consider Jesus' ministry today. Friends, he opened blind eyes. He healed deaf ears. He caused the mute to speak. He touched lepers with his healing hands. He performed miracle after miracle, and he targeted the same group of people every time. Those no one considered worthy of his healing love. That's who he was looking for. Would you at least, if you're a reasonable, objective thinker today, I'm giving you all the credit in the world. If you're out there and you're searching and you're thinking, it doesn't matter what I believe, would you at least consider Jesus' ministry today? And I guarantee you, I could probably grab the handheld mic and start passing it around, and there would be people in this audience that would stand up and boldly proclaim and shout, yes, friend, yes. Please consider Jesus' ministry today, because I am a person who once was blind and now I see. I was a person who once was lost, but now I'm found. You have testimonies of people. You will have testimonies. This church is full of people who have experienced the ministry of Jesus. They can't explain it. I love the story of the blind man more than anything else almost in the entire Bible. This guy was uneducated all his life because he was born blind. Was all that he knew was going to the temple and just begging for his life every single day. And I love it because the religious elite who knew the law, who knew the word, they were coming at him like crazy. And this dude's like, dude, just back off. I don't have your answers. Here's what I have. And this is for anybody that's here today and you don't think you have a powerful testimony because you weren't saved out of just like a life of drugs, you know, out of a life off the streets, and you're like, man, my testimony ain't nothing like that, you know, and you're embarrassed. No. Listen to the testimony of the blind man. Here's what I know. This morning, friends, I woke up blind again. But guess what? Now I see. Can you think of a better mic drop? Don't fall for the lie. Be objective. Consider Jesus' ministry today. Here's the second aspect worth your consideration today. Ready? Consider the resurrection of Jesus. Now, right here is where some of you are thinking, ha-ha, I got you. Because dead people don't rise again. Yeah, they do. Okay? Here's the deal. Obviously, we're going to talk about this a lot more next week, in case you didn't know. It's called Resurrection Sunday. Okay? We'll gather together and celebrate the single most historic event in human history next week. It's pretty incredible, but you're sitting there once again. Yeah, Josh, but dead people don't rise again. Yes, they do. And I'm going to do my best next week to once again attempt to explain to you why we believe that this really happened. So I just want to pause and call time out, okay? Because here's who I'm talking to. Right now, I just switch brains to those of you that don't know Jesus, you're searching. I'm coming back to you. Those of you that do know Jesus, you call COC your home. Next week, you have an opportunity to bring somebody to church that may have never received the love of Jesus Christ, and you might be used of the Holy Spirit himself to transform a life and help them be a part of bridging them, bridging the gap and them crossing over from death to life. God could use you next week, right? Here's what I mean. If you got your programs and you pull out that little card, you're like, this is so cool. They got so many cool graphics. It is not for your entertainment that we put that in your hands, okay? Here's why we put that in your hands. So you can go tell somebody about the love of Jesus. And you're like, how do I do that? Because I don't even know how to tell somebody about the love of Jesus. Then give them the invite card for Pete's sake. We'll tell them about Jesus. I ain't going to be afraid. I'll get up all in their grill next week. Okay? Got no problem doing it. Next Friday night, 7 p.m., cross service. Anybody here ever been to cross service before? Yeah. Some of you, you're like, no, I haven't. Listen, for the last 5 years, I've had people say, this is my favorite service of the entire year. It's because there is a worship atmosphere that's kind of unlike on Sunday mornings than what we usually see. It's an interactive message and worship throughout, but it is a time in which we do nothing but just reflect and remember about what Jesus did for us that we couldn't do for ourselves. Amen. The cross. 7 o'clock Friday night. And then on Sunday, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. 9 o'clock and 11 o'clock. Shouldn't have told you that because you're 10:45ers. We start at 10:45 next week. We'll see you here. Okay? That invite card, all right, is for you to give away. Now, here's what I challenge people to do. Don't invite somebody to go because that gives them the option to say no. You give them that card and you say, I'm going to bring you with me. I want you to bring somebody. We've often said this too before. We do junk food for Jesus. We throw that. That's a creative way for you to, because how do I do this? Do I knock on the door and, you know, ding dong ditch it and run away and whatever. I do junk food for Jesus, and this marks my week. It's like we got our own white envelope, junk food for Jesus. What is that, Josh? I will go through McDonald's whenever I get my kids food because I don't eat at McDonald's anymore, okay? I just sugar-free vanilla iced coffee. That's all I got at McDonald's. So, but when I go through there or Taco Bell, what I will do is I will ask the person behind me what their I'd like to pay for their meal, and then I say, just do me a favor and give them this card, okay? And give them this card. Now I pray before I go to the fast food joint that the family behind me has no kids, you know. So I'm just joking. We have paid. I have dropped 45 bones on somebody before. Isn't that crazy? But I will do it. Hey, there's no price tag on someone possibly coming to Jesus. Okay, so that's just a creative way. So again, we'll talk more about this next week, and I will do my absolute best to explain that, and this is kind of my premise. I've said this before, but we don't believe that Jesus rose from the dead because the Bible says so. It's better than that, and that's what I'm gonna talk to you about next week. So I hope the better than that brings you back to church, okay? But hey, some of you have heard kind of bits and pieces of that, but if you are even alive and you got a pulse, you've heard the Easter story. So you need to pray for me because I got to do that every year. You know what I'm saying? Say the same thing in just a creative way. So, but bring somebody to church. So I'll talk about this more next week, but here's Here's the idea, okay? You need to get this, objectively considering the resurrection of Jesus today. God loves you, but he hates sin. And he hates sin so much that's why Jesus was born of a virgin, so he would not inherit the sin nature of an earthly father. So he was born without sin, and that's why he could go to the cross and become sin for us. Now, please don't miss this. While on the cross, when all of creation was mocking him, and this is powerful thought, think about the irony in this. When creation was mocking the Creator, at the very moment when they had done their absolute worst to him, when they had basically beat him beyond recognition, and they had driven stakes through his hands and shoved a spear through his side, and they had hung him on an instrument of torture. Please get this. Jesus, in that moment when all of creation is mocking the Creator, in the moment, Jesus says to me one of the most powerful things that he says in all of Scripture. He says this. He says, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do." And do you understand how much grace is in that prayer? Wow. In the moment where everybody has turned on him, in the moment in your life where you have turned on him, hear these words. "Father, forgive them, because Ginger doesn't know what she does." No, I didn't mean that as a joke. I'm getting serious here. Stay with me. I'm going to point out somebody else now. "Father, forgive them, because Arlie doesn't know what he does." In those moments, "Father, forgive them, Steve doesn't know what he does." When you're doing stupid things called sin, "Brian doesn't know what he does." Hear the words of Jesus. Hear his grace today. "Father, forgive." When your loved one turns on you and you're going through a bitter, ugly divorce, when your children run away, their prodigal years, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do." Then I love this next part. I love this next part. He says, "It is finished." You know what that means? It means it's over. It's done. It's completed. I have fulfilled my mission. What's your mission, Jesus? To pay for the sins of the entire human world. I'm going to pay a price that they can't pay. It's finished. I'm coming home. And then the earth went dark. And the ground shook. And this is just another powerful moment. Just go read the story this week. The centurion who helped place Jesus and was right smack dab in the middle of all of this. Can you imagine the power of Jesus being so powerful that he doesn't even utter words to this man, but just from the visual understanding and perception of everything that Jesus has done, everything that Jesus chose not to do, and all the words that he spoke, this centurion looks up and he is so influenced by what Jesus has done, he says, "Surely, there is no doubt in my mind now, this man, he was the Son of God." And then Jesus was buried. You know the story. 3 days later, stones rolled away. Jesus isn't there. Tomb is empty. Now here's what Christians believe, and I'll dig deeper into this next week so you understand it. But we believe this. I believe this, and I am not crazy. I know I act crazy, and I preach a little crazy sometimes, but I am not crazy. We believe that Jesus actually did rise from the dead. Now, listen, Paul wrote about this belief perfectly in Acts chapter 3. He said, "You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead, and we are," here's the key word, and you'll see this word all throughout the New Testament, which I'll explain to you next week in the Gospels. "We are witnesses of this." Now, this is so important to Christians because it means that there are actual eyewitnesses that confirmed Jesus really did die, and then, oh my gosh, Jesus really did rise again. Not just to them, but to thousands of others. There were actual eyewitnesses to this fact and truth. And I'll close here before I go to the third one real quick. One of the most powerful eyewitnesses to this truth was a guy named Thomas. And you've probably heard of this guy. He's got a cliche to his name, Doubting Thomas. And here's what's interesting. He was one of the chosen 12. He had heard all about what Jesus said he was going to do. But he's still doubting. Why? Because he saw Jesus die and dead people don't rise again. Right? And he sees this and he's saying this stuff and he's doubting and he's not believing. He's like, I'm not going to believe unless I see it with my own eyes. And then ta-da, Jesus shows up and he says, Thomas, stop doubting and start believing. Touch my side. Look, put your fingers in the holes in my hands. And this is amazing. Because he said, stop doubting, start believing. And here's what's powerful. The only one of his disciples that regardless of what the rumor being spread, like, I got to see him with my own eyes. And Jesus shows up. The only one that doubted in the beginning become one of the greatest evangelists in India. And while in India, while they were capturing him and torturing him, they asked him to renounce his faith in his Savior Jesus. And Thomas, who once was a doubter, said this, I will never renounce my Savior. And they drove a spear through his body, killing him on the spot. And this is what somebody needs to hear. Somebody, please tell me, why would you die for something that didn't happen? Why would he die for his faith when once he doubted? It's because he saw with his own eyes a risen Jesus. Would you at least, objective thinker, would you at least consider Jesus' resurrection today? Come back next week, I'll share more, but don't consider me. Jeez, I'll let you down. Don't consider this church, we're imperfect, but at least consider Jesus today. Consider his ministry today. Consider his resurrection today. And lastly, here's the third aspect. I think it's totally worth your consideration. If you're contemplating, you're on a journey, wondering what it is, you know, it doesn't matter what I believe. If that's you, would you at least just consider this? Consider the eternal message of Jesus. Paul summarizes the consideration best in Romans chapter 3. It reads this, the righteousness is given through faith in who? Jesus Christ. And to who? All who believe. In essence, Paul was saying this, anybody and everybody has the ability to be made right with God by placing a faith in Jesus Christ. And that fact is so crazy powerful to me because I've heard so many people that say, I am beyond saving. God would never do that to me, this, that, whatever. This powerful verse and numerous others say, anybody, no matter who you are, what you've done, how far you feel from God, who places a faith in Jesus Christ and believes that he did what he did on the cross for you, can be made right with God once again. I'm telling you, friends, Christianity is Jesus plus nothing, period. Jesus plus nothing. Jesus plus nothing. And I'm talking about everything that you're ever taught by other things. It's not nothing plus good works. It's not nothing plus baptism. It's not nothing plus what church you attend. Not nothing plus giving to God financially. It's Jesus plus nothing. And here's how you can deduce all of those other religions and compare them to New Testament Christianity. Religions all point to one thing, and it's not their God. It points to you. All of those religions, they don't point to that because those gods seem to be turning around, pointing back to you. Yeah, I'll save you, but you got to do this, 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 this. It's all based on how you perform and what you do. And it's leaving you, and it always, I've left so many, talked to so many people that follow these religions and are coming out. It always leaves you wondering this, have I done enough? Am I good enough? Now, how would you like to carry that as your substantial proof before the gates of heaven? I hope I've done enough. Religion teaches it's all about you. But Jesus is not about religion. Jesus is about relationship. He didn't come to create a religion. He came to show the love of God through relationship. So relationship is all about you, but relationship is all about, or religion is all about you, but relationship is all about Jesus. Now listen, somebody needs to hear this today. And I'm close to being done, so just hang with me. You need to hear this today, because you are hurting. And you are trying to find out and figure out this God thing, and it just hurts so bad. So can I just tell you right now, just stop. Give yourself a break. I get why you're trying, because we're all doers, and we just want to do. So that's why the religions are so appealing. Stop. Hear this truth today. God doesn't love you because of who you are. God loves you because of who he is. Period. There is nothing you can do to get God to love you more. And there's nothing you could do to get God to love you less. Because God loves you because of who he is. So, come on. Be an objective thinker today. Would you at least consider the eternal message of Jesus? At least consider that religion says it's about you and relationship says it's about Jesus. I've often used this before, but this is a perfect way to kind of encapsulate everything that I'm saying to you right now. But this, you know, in your search and your quest for eternal existence and eternity, religion equals do. Relationship equals done. Done. Right there. That's as simple as it is. Religion says do and Jesus says done. Now, here's the last part, okay? Because when I will have this conversation or debate or discussion with somebody, and I gave you my three shots, here's what someone will most likely always say. That almost sounds too good to be true. That almost sounds like too easy. I mean, like, there's got to be a catch, right? Where's the fine print down at the bottom? So this is what I say. Come on, let's think about this. Nobody, come on guys, nobody in their right mind would ever even dream to make up a religion on their own where they would make up a God who would become one of us and then die in our place. Who would do that? Who would rise up a God so he could die? And that's why this is so valuable and so important. It's why this is called the gospel. You know what the gospel means? It means it's too good to be true. It's good news. No matter how you slice it, no matter how you look at it, it's good news every single way that you look at it. You can't make this bad news. This is good news no matter what. That's why it seems too good to be true. That's all I have to do? Nah, you don't have to do anything but believe. The hard work's already been done. The heavy lifting's already happened. Good news. You don't have to work your way to God. God's already worked his way to you in and through the work of his son, Jesus Christ. That, guys, that's good news. So here's what I want you to think, objective thinker, today. Last thought. Consider all that stuff that I said. And consider this last thought. I personally believe in what I know and read about everything about Jesus. I really do think it's pretty important that you know what you believe. Because I don't think it's all about it doesn't matter what you believe. I think it matters a big deal about what you believe. So bow your heads and close your eyes real quick. And here's my last little thought for my friends here that might not know Jesus. This is called the what's next moment. Everything that we do at church on Sunday, this is the most important moment, and that's the decision in which you will make for Jesus or against Jesus. Here's the deal. Everybody in here, believer or unbeliever alike, however Jesus has spoken to you, you're making a decision either for Jesus or against Jesus today. You'll say yes or you'll say no. You'll walk out of here. You're making a decision. And that's what is so vital and so important for this. So those of you that are here today, I just want to extend an invitation. If you're here and you're one of those that have objectively considered these things about Jesus today, and for some reason, like for the first time, right, you've come to this determination today that Jesus actually might be the answer that you've been looking for in your life, and you're tired, you're exhausted, you've been trying, you're like, I am tired of this. And if what you're saying is true, man, that sounds like the better route. If that's you today, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And you can do that wherever you are, anytime, any moment. It's simple. You admit that you're a sinner and you are separated from God, a right relationship with God, you're separated. You believe that Jesus died on a cross for your sins. Then he beat death and he rose again on the third day. He took your place. He did what you could not do. And then you commit your life to Jesus Christ. Here forward. You seek to serve him as the Lord of your life. Now listen, there's so many ways to put that, and I don't want it to be confusing to you. It's just a personal moment between you and God. And it might just sound something like this. It's a prayerful moment. And if that's you today and you'd like to accept Christ, it's simple. Just in your own words, it just like this: Jesus, I'm lost without you, and I'm a sinner. And Lord, I believe that you died for my sins. You took my place. You paid a debt that I could not pay. And today, Jesus, I commit my life to you. Here forward, I desire to seek and serve you with everything that I have. I give you my life today, Jesus. Amen. That's it. And I believe, no, nobody's looking around. I believe somebody today just placed a saving faith in Jesus Christ. So would you do me, if you're a brother and sister in Christ today, would you do me a favor? Would you just celebrate? Because I believe somebody crossed over from death to life today. I believe I have a new brother or a new sister in Christ today because they believed in Jesus and what he did for them. Now, here's the deal. We're going to sing a song. And you don't have to do anything else. If you believed in Jesus and you placed a faith in him today, you don't have to do anything else. But I would encourage you as a pastor, I would encourage you at some point in time in the near future, would you let somebody know that you placed that saving faith in Jesus? Because here's why. We believe in the body of Christ, and we want to help you take further steps in your faith journey to know and learn more about him. And you can do that any way that you choose. In your communication cards, you can just check the box and drop it in the basket on the way out. You could come forward if you're bold enough and you want to come forward and tell one of the counselors, hey, today I gave my life to Jesus Christ, and awesome. Or you can stop by the care table. You can tell me on the way out. However you want to do it, I just encourage you to consider doing that at some time in your future, because we want you to take, you know, those further steps in your journey with Jesus. So I just want to encourage you to do that. Now, here's what we're going to do. Everybody stand to your feet. I'm going to talk now real quick and briefly to my brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. This week, God has given you an opportunity. Everybody look up here. God has given you an opportunity to share the greatest news that you hold dear to your heart in your life, which is your salvation, with somebody else. And so many people are afraid to, you know, just like share the gospel. Some of you can do it, and that's awesome. But here's the simplest way that you can do it. Matt, will you give me that? Here is the simplest way that you can do that. Thank you, bro. Right here. This is a gospel track. This is a good news track right here. Good news track. Give it to somebody. Say, I'd like to bring you with me to church of celebration Friday night. I'd like to bring you with me to church of celebration on Sunday morning. Now, here's the thing. It's easy for you to just say, yeah, I can do that. Now, I'm going to actually call you to action, brothers and sisters. because you are called. You are called to be salt and light in this world. So here's what I'm going to do. I do not believe the Sunday that starts Passover week, Holy Week, should be empty, especially with believers in Jesus in the house. And I believe this is what needs to happen. I believe that you need to involve Jesus in your missionary work this week. So here's what I'm going to do. Sing a song, and I'm going to ask you as a brother or sister in Christ to come forward, and I want you to put one name on your brain of somebody that you know, they're going to be tough to bring to church on Sunday or Friday night. But you're going to pray that God would give you a divine moment this week to place this card in their hand and say, what time am I picking you up at? Now, here's the deal, all right? Because anybody can give the card, right? I want you to pray also that you will recognize when that moment shows up. Because a lot of times, we let some divine moments just fly by us. So I want you to think about that one name, and when we sing this song, I want you to come forward and I want you to pray those two specific things. God, who is the person? Or who are the people? And God, would you show me exactly when that moment is this week so I can bring them with me to hear the good news. The good news of the gospel this coming week at COC. Let's pray. Jesus, thanks. Love you. Love this opportunity to speak truth. God, I pray that you'd move in someone's life. I pray that if there's anybody here today that is thinking, it doesn't matter what I believe, God, reveal truth. Reveal truth. I know that words said today are not always convincing, so the Holy Spirit needs to work in their life. But Lord, I pray that you reveal truth. And God, I praise you because I believe that I have some brand new believers in Jesus today, brand new sisters and brothers in Christ, and I just praise you. They gave their life to you today. They placed a saving faith in you, and that is absolutely amazing. Amazing. Let us step alongside them, Lord. Show them how to grow their faith and grow closer to you in their relationship. And I pray for all my brothers and sisters. I pray, God, I pray next week as we see probably over 2,000 people walk through this auditorium on Friday and Sunday. I pray right now in advance, God, you would introduce new people to the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news, the great news about your resurrection. May it be life-changing and transformational. We praise you, Jesus, in your precious and your holy, holy, holy Son, Jesus' name, all of God's people said, amen.